afternoon, everybody. It's Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019. It's 2 o'clock p.m. We're gathered for the legal counsel update in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. We have all three commissioners present and our legal team. And first up on the agenda is the Grants Pass Fire Rescue District.
First public hearing is coming up 1 week from tomorrow on July 10. And so this is our final kind of administrative opportunity to just go over the procedures and protocols as to how that's going to play out. Yeah, I think Pat is going to...
So apologies, I have absolutely nothing ready to give you today. but I plan on having...
That's right here.
There it is. A notebook. It'll have a hearing outline for you. It'll have the district. It'll have everything you need. We've already received a letter back from the city. One thing on the timeline is the required meeting with the state forester, and I went.
We're doing that tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay, great.
We have it scheduled tomorrow, and verbally he said he'd have everything in place. He has no objections, so we'll
great.
Be getting the official stuff tomorrow from him.
Perfect.
When I talked to him a week or so ago, he was going to get a hold of. He had never done this one. He's only done for annexations. So never a full district, but he was going to get a hold of the Salem folks to make sure he had everything in place for our meeting tomorrow so that we would be able to go forward, and he said he was going to pass it through, no problem.
And so it's you and Jay?
And city manager. We're
That's
meeting
it.
In the city manager's office tomorrow. So
okay.
I'll represent the BCC, the city will be there, ODF will be there, and we'll make sure that all of us get whatever we need for you.
Okay, and what is his name?
Dave Larson.
Okay, the city has already provided us with the document that you're going to need for the findings that you're going to make. Got that last week.
Okay.
So everything's ready. It just has to be kind of put together in and I'll also be able to provide you with the draft of the order that you would be looking at on that day. So we were thinking that I could get the packet to you this week.
Yeah.
But we could also discuss it next Tuesday at our meeting.
I
just
will be
for
at
the
next
final.
Tuesday's meeting. I have, well, it's...
I have the packet already, too.
Okay.
It would just be like...
I have another
have
suppression subcommittee Tuesday. But I'll be in there on a conference call. But I'm not traveling to Salem for it. But I have that meeting until 3.
Do you want to change the meeting time or anything?
It'll be all right.
We'll
put the packets to them.
I mean, it's quasi-judicial.
If you review the packet, if you have any concerns, you'll
yeah.
be
just
here.
Just if you have last minute questions.
If you really have any concerns,
yeah.
then just a second. I got to come out here and take
exactly.
care of
okay.
that.
I think
that if you're gone somewhere else. But yeah.
I mean, so it's quasi-judicial. So we review the stuff ahead of time, and then there we have to make ruling on if it meets muster, right?
Well, it's your first public hearing. So you have to hold the hearing first, and you have to listen to anybody that has anything to say. And remember that the timeline was really scrunched.
Yeah.
So where you could usually maybe do the board order the following week, we have you doing it
that day,
which you've done before on other kinds of things like this. But so for sure we'll have every document you need this week. But
could you speak a little louder?
This week, which means it could be Friday, but I don't even know if people are going to be here on Friday, so...
I can be, but I was choosing not to be.
Well, we could email everybody individually the packet, if that helps.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a help.
All right. Sure. And then we'll go ahead and put it on next Tuesday, just in case there's last-minute questions.
Okay.
Is it a long document?
It's a binder.
It's
a binder.
You have them made?
No.
Oh. Okay.
She can see the future.
If you had to make one,
see the binder.
If you had to make one for me, would that be a problem?
No, I'm making one for each one of you.
Okay, so
yes.
Just make sure mine's in, or I can read it.
Yeah, no, I can give it to you. If you don't want it
Perfect.
Online, I'll just,
I'll
give you the...
I'd be forever trying to find it.
No, that's fine. Well, I'll have each one.
When it's on my
does
desk,
anyone else
I
not
it.
Want it online,
so
you want a packet?
Yeah, I want both.
Yeah, you want both.
Oh, good.
Okay, got it. All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next on our agenda is a petition for rulemaking to stop state law-based prohibitions of mining on federal lands.
Yes, in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision not to review the Bonfire case. Requests from citizens have come in regarding this point, and so I've put it on the agenda for the board's consideration.
Also our mining advisory board.
And mining advisory board, okay.
Yes, so not just citizens, but our mining advisory board members.
Okay.
So, and Tom, this is the one you're here for, because I wasn't sure if the one below was the same case or not. So this is, that's the different one. Okay. So I want to make sure you have a chance to weigh in, too, if we need to, on anything here, too. So, well, do you want to start off Wally, or should we just have Tom?
I think Tom is far more steeped in it than anybody I know, so.
We've had some developments.
Thank you.
When the Ninth Circuit, or when the Supreme Court denied here's the Bonfire case.
For our minute taker, will you say your full name and?
Sure. Tom Kitcher, president of the Waldo Mining District.
And you're on our mining advisory board, too.
And I'm a member of the Josephine County Mining Advisory Board.
Thank you.
Committee. I think it's committee, because it's MAC, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were very disappointed and bummed, obviously. We spent a lot of money. We owe a lot of money still over those lawsuits. If we do nothing, mining's dead. So we came up with another plan. We found in the court documents that sometime in the early 2000s, it appears as though BLM and the Forest Service amended their mining regulations and put language in that basically says, besides needing their approval, we must obtain all required state permits. And they pretty much just left it at that. Now, the Forest Service and BLM under federal law 30 USC 612B may not materially interfere with mining. They can manage the other non-mineral surface resources on a mining claim, but they cannot endanger or materially interfere with mining, which has been taken to mean that they can reasonably regulate to protect the other resources, but they can't prohibit.
That's at the state level they say that,
no,
right?
Federal.
No, just federal.
Federal level, okay.
Federal. And if you look at the hierarchy, you know, the U.S. Constitution gave Congress the authority to manage all federal lands. They delegated that authority to the Department of Interior, Department of Agriculture. They wrote regulations for all sorts of uses, including mining. So now we, in the 2000s, they added this new language that you must obtain all state permits. The BLM regulations even go so far as to say, even if the state restrictions are more stringent than the federal requirement, again, not setting any limit. And that was taken by the courts as why what Oregon did in SB 3 was not preempted by the mining law, because the federal regulations say they can do it. So we came up with this petition. It's a formal process that they are looking at. And what we're all really asking them to do is to change the regulations, not even take anything out of the regulations, just add language to the regulations that basically say that any state restrictions on mining also may not materially interfere with mining. They can still have regulations, but they can't prohibit mining on federal land. It's just, it's wrong. We did a massive letter writing campaign. We've been doing that for a while. We actually got hold of, or actually somebody in Department of Interior got hold of me and wanted to know what are all these letters we're getting and what's this all about. And of course, he knows nothing about mining, but he's a deputy solicitor for the Department of Interior. And he was very interested, and he saw right away that this was a problem and is wrong. We talked about, you know, maybe we should file another lawsuit, get a miner to apply for a DEQ permit, which will be denied if it's in essential salmon habitat, and then you can sue DEQ, and this time the United States should stand behind the miners instead of ignoring us. We decided, well, until the regulations are actually changed, that isn't going to do any good, because the regulations still say this. So we're pushing this petition for change. Just yesterday, there was a, I wasn't involved in this, but I've heard about it, was a joint conference call with a lot of high DOA and DOA officials including, I think, the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture was at that meeting, or at least he's Deputy Secretary for Minerals. And he basically says, well, we're gonna definitely look at this and push it through, or try to. Their problem right now is, how do they make the rule change without instantly triggering 1,000 lawsuits from the environmentalists?
That's a pretty heavy lift there.
You know, that's the big problem. How to do this without, I mean, there's no guarantee, there's no way to stop them from suing, but how do you make it so that even if they sue, they can't win?
As bulletproof as you can.
Right.
Right.
So that's what they're still working on that and looking at that. Obviously for us, the better fix would be to get Congress to act, but that's not really likely to happen right now. They're so worried about Russian collusion and who knows what. For the short term, this would fix us for a while anyway. There is other bills that are being presented to Congress. I mean, President Trump's Strategic Mineral Policy Act, or whatever the name of it is, for us, it's like a perfect storm. It couldn't have happened for us at a better time, because all of a sudden, mining and the need for minerals has gotten a whole lot more federal attention than has been. I mean, even President Clinton abolished the U.S. Bureau of Mines. I mean, gee, we don't want any record of where we know minerals are and what, it's nuts. But that's not our problem here. And what I'm asking here, I did get, actually when President Trump signed that bill, a woman named Carly Miller, who is she's in the Secretary of Interior's office, she wrote the press release. And in the bottom of the press release, if you have any comments or questions or anything, contact me. And there was her contact information. So I sent her a letter. Thousands of miners in California and Oregon are now out of work. Not because the minerals aren't there, it's because the states won't let us mine on federal land. And since then, we've had several conversations. She really wants to help us. She thinks this is crazy. She gave me the name of the director of intergovernmental and external affairs for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and I've spoken with him. And when I told him, well, Oregon designated these salmon habitat waters, and he wondered, well, what's the problem with this? Well, they banned all mining on those waters. And he said, so it's state land. He said, no, they're doing it on Forest Service land. What? He was mad. About that same time, I got a message from Carly saying, if I could get local governments to support this, it would help. And that was like 10 minutes after I sent you guys this letter. So everything is kind of just rolling along.
So there's a letter that we received, a draft letter, asking for us to support the mining petition.
Yes.
And you have that too.
I do.
I did make one little change to it, one word that I made last night. It was right at the top where it says RE, petition for rulemaking. I added the word miners petition for rulemaking so that it more identifies what this is.
Trish made it look like it came from our office. And
oh, nice.
The draft letter, yeah.
So and whether you want to use all this information, it isn't necessary, yeah, or necessarily necessary. I just pulled some other information out just to kind of flesh it out a little bit. But really, all it really needs to say is, Josephine County has looked at the petition. We agree with it. We like it. We support it.
Right.
Would make we're also working on, I've got miners in Baker County working on their commissioners. And hopefully we've got some miners talking to the Siskiyou County, I think it's supervisors down there.
Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. So we're trying to get, we also wrote to all the Oregon Republican senators, the ones that walked out. I haven't heard back from any of them, and I have a feeling I probably won't, because the session was pretty trying, and it's over now, and if I was them, I'd be on vacation somewhere.
I have met Ed Valenzuela. He's the District 2 Board of Supervisor. I may be able to get contact information to you. I met him at our Western Interstate. Well, I've met him at National Association of Counties at the conferences there
and he's in D.C.
Siskiyou County.
Oh, great.
So you had emailed as far as if there's a contact. I think I've met Ray Hopps as well, but I can't recall as far as looking at their faces. But I know Ed Valenzuela for certain I did meet. So you had asked about a contact. That
sure, anything like
Ed,
that.
Would, Ed would be the one that I could get you connected with.
Yeah, I can't. I don't. I can't just drive down to Arica and because I'm not even a California resident. I mean, what are the chances of somebody from, you know, Washington's walking in here and wanting to talk to one of you guys without an appointment or anything? It's probably going to be pretty slim.
Right.
Plus, I can, if I could set an appointment up, then I could get California miners to come with me and meet me there that live in that county.
Well, why don't we talk afterwards?
Sure. Great.
Is there any thoughts or questions that you guys would have on a letter?
Well, I'm just glad you wrote the letter because I tried reading Wally's language over here.
James.
I mean, yeah, I got it.
The legal version is always.
Yeah, right.
Very
he
precise.
Said all, though.
Based on the letters, do you have anything that you would edit or change?
I really don't have anything. So James's letter went to Secretary of the Interior, so it wouldn't make any difference if you were to wrap James's letter in by reference or otherwise. Maybe put that on there just so they'd have it all together in one pile of paper.
So, right.
To say, you know, Mr. Buchall's letter is hereby incorporated in our letter. We support the changes he recommends.
Yeah.
Perhaps something along those lines.
I'm in favor.
I don't see that a petition number has actually been
signed. Sad you didn't get a hearing, y'all.
Yeah, we were very surprised. What happened was, you know, we filed a petition. Then the amicus briefs on our behalf were filed, and there were several. Pacific Legal Foundation submitted, and I think maybe somebody else. Anyway, then the state responded. We replied to that. Or actually the state and the environmental interveners had responded, so we replied to all of that. What was supposed to come next, and we expected, was amicus briefs supporting the state's position. None. And as soon as that deadline expired, the Supreme Court met and threw us out. And no explanation whatsoever, just denied. But we have a feeling it's because of this loophole with the regulations. They can't really rule that it's preempted because you've got federal regulations that say the states can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the real question is, well, where'd they get that authority? Where did BLM and the Forest Service get that authority to tell the states they could do something that they themselves can't do?
On federal lands, yeah.
Yeah. So we think it's a real good argument. We're getting a lot of support.
They don't follow the 1937 ONC Act, Congressional Act, so why can we expect anything different on this?
Right. Let's face it, the swamp is still pretty deep in Washington. We have a feeling, well, the first guy I talked to from DOI says, boy, if we'd have known about this 6 months ago, we'd have stood behind you in the Supreme Court. I said, well, we've been mailing you letters since September. Where'd they go?
Do you open them?
Who's the Buchall guy?
James Buchall, he's the attorney for miners.
He's our attorney.
Thank you. Portland. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, and we know that several thousand letters at least were sent locally. Because the mining shop collected a whole lot of them and sent them for us. I mean, every time a customer went in the mining shop, hey, fill this out. So there were thousands of letters sent, but apparently they didn't get to the right people.
Okay.
I'm all for it. Absolutely.
So should we just add a paragraph here before the last one saying we're including Mr. Buchall's letter as reference for which we show our support. We appreciate your opportunity to lend something like that. Just
that makes sense.
I think that'll round it right out.
Okay. So we'll make sure our staff gets the right wording from you that it's appropriate. Yeah. And so I would accept a motion to sign support the miners petition, a letter in support of miners petition rulemaking to stop state land-based prohibition of mining on federal lands.
With the added paragraph.
Correct.
Yep. Yes, so moved.
And seconded.
Any further discussion?
No.
No.
Good, stay with it.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0.
And the letter will be in the signature file.
Thank you.
Super.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Tom. Thanks for taking the trip.
Did you hang around for, did you want to talk to me afterwards?
I will email you the contact information to see if we can, I don't know where he's at with anything, but I'll see if I can get you contact information, at least a start.
Thank all of you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Next on our agenda is number 3, public records request, public records officer.
Yeah, so an issue whose time has come ripe again, I think. I brought it up, we discussed it perhaps a year ago before, I think even Commissioner Fowler was on board.
Right.
So the existing policy was revised and renamed, readopted on November 9, 2016. And so that policy was quite in line basically with the policy that preceded it. I have been formally appointed by that document as the county's public records officer, and we've been processing public records thusly. So public records, this document could do better in its mere reflection of who specifically does what within the county. We do have 7A, and again I'm referencing the existing policy. It's Chapter F, policy F5. And we can see that portion 7A describes that the following departments may release records without first forwarding them to the records officer, meaning legal counsel, community development, clerk, public works, and surveyor. Of course, throughout the rest of the county, departments do their own processing of public records. And so that's one of many areas within this document that can be updated.
Yeah, community corrections should be on that list too, because I know they're listed as the records officer in the State Department of Corrections list.
Sure. District attorney?
Yeah, there's...
So we're going to need to revisit the policy as it is.
Yeah.
You say you're the public records officer, is it your office is the public records?
This office, the legal counsel.
Whoever, if you decide not to run again and begin new city or county council, that would be the public records officer.
Yes, that's
okay.
Exactly accurate. Mm-hmm. The office of the legal counsel. Additionally, so where the discussion kind of paused out last time was that there's an inconsistency in terms of the process for appealing public records decisions. The real sticky stuff tends to come to me, and I think that's probably how it'll come to this office, that is to say, the Office of Legal Counsel, which is probably how it always will be and probably is how it should be. And that, of course, is a denial by an elected official, which provides recourse strictly to the court, the circuit court, for review of that denial. And by denial, I mean it's either denial of an opportunity to inspect or receive the records or any portion thereof. There's a lot of redactions. The black bar that goes across some of the language is what we actually use. And also a denial of a request for a fee waiver. The policy does describe fees, and we do need to get uniform throughout the county. Currently, the fees prescribed by the policy are $55 an hour for managerial staff. That's the legal counsel. Professional staff is $45 an hour, and clerical staff, secretarial, would be $32. And so that's prescribed by the policy, and so that's something that we want to see consistency of throughout the rest of the county. But back to the issue of appealing. So if you have a given document, let's call it subdivision plat, and someone were to go to community development, which is a non-elected director, and perfectly contemplated here by the policy, and they requested it, and for some reason denied. It doesn't matter why, for our hypothetical here, then that decision would be appealable to the district attorney. But if they were to go to the county surveyor's office downstairs, or the office of an elected official, asking for the exact same document, and the decision and the denial came from that office, then sole recourse when seeking the same document, although from a different part of the county, would be to the circuit court. The drawback, generally, of having to go to the circuit court is that there are filing fees involved. There's a certain level of know-how that's requisite to really deal with the court system, whereas the district attorney is a pretty efficient system of appeal.
Right.
And so what where we'd been talking about it last time, if memory serves me right, and again before Commissioner Fowler's time, but was basically that what makes sense, or what seems, what I would say makes sense, not up to me, but what I would say makes sense would be to have the Board of Commissioners, which is the ultimate custodian of all records within this organization as the governing body, and of course as an elected officers within the governing body, but have the Board of Commissioners make it a policy that public records requests, the appeal of any decision in a public records process from anywhere within the county, whether it be from an department led by an elected official or otherwise, that the county would recognize the decision of a district attorney's review, and that would be the presumptive appeal process for people who put in public records requests to any department within the county, legal counsel, anywhere else. And the Board of Commissioners would have always the authority as elected officials to decline to release public records or to make decisions regarding public records or to release public records that were declined by other department heads. But that decision would always be solely appealable just to the circuit court. So if the Board of Commissioners weighs in on it one way or the other, circuit court is where it goes. But otherwise, it goes to the DA.
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind to me is that when the previous district attorney stepped down, retired, and the appointment is appointed by the governor. They're elected in a district, but they're statewide office. They're not county. So I guess it is some level of, it's twofold. They're not someone who, I mean, it's elected by the people or appointed by the governor in the position. So it is a statewide, so it's separate. It's not, but his budget's dependent on it. So there's still a level of
connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, but it would seem easier to have one policy, though.
Absolutely.
Consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
Consistent. It shouldn't be different.
And it's not onerous to the requester.
No, it's less.
Yeah, the court sounds like pretty daunting.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Dan?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, so I've got that and various other changes that I would present in a kind of red line draft here in
sure.
the near future, so we can really get a draft to talk around. But
Do the hourly rates usually stay in these kind of documents? Are the fees not set
in a fee schedule?
Yeah.
They are. Fee procedure. Yes.
That would be something we should update.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It is.
It always seems awkward when they're in there, because then 20 years goes by. And
true. Now I have looked into that. Maybe I won't get into the particulars for the here and now as to how we're doing that. In fact, I won't. Let's just certainly particularities about the fees throughout the county. Let's talk about that if you want on another occasion.
Sure.
But that's a part of what we're going to address through this this overhaul, if you will.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yep.
So you'll bring us a red line.
Yep, that's the plan.
Thank you.
All right.
Next on the agenda item is item 4, additional matters or subjects. Reverse that. Additional subjects or matters from commissioners. Commissioner
Dion? None for me.
Well, it's not really a legal update, but the Women's World Cup American team beat England just at lunch.
To go to the finals?
To go to the finals on Sunday, so that's
pretty
exciting.
Are you excited, soccer man?
Oh, man. I had to go home and watch it. And it was a very close game there. They won 2-1, and they had a few where the referee called back a goal or two. So it was fun to watch.
Cool. Anything other?
No, that's all I got for now. After Sunday, I'll have another update.
So I'm getting different people from the community talking about what is the county doing about a fire district after the advisory question. We've all received emails from Chief Hoke saying his agency wants to annex the areas. I've had a citizen group say they want a new district. Senator Bereshiger has weighed in on a new district, wanting a new district. And in the past, from what I understand of history, is there was citizen groups that led the discussion about rural fire protection districts, including the feasibility studies and all. They all did that. But I wondered if it's appropriate or adequate for the county to create a task force to look at it, or is it something that should be left to citizen groups? If a task force that can be looking into the steps, the process, kind of that process, what would the makeup be as far as, you know, how many people would be, you know, appropriate kind of thing, making sure different thing, you know, representation there. But is that our role? Is that our place? And I figured it'd be a good question to pose to legal, because I know there's some things we've been told we can't create a task force for, like a charter review.
More or less. Yeah.
And I know with us having the quasi-judicial role in the fire district discussion, like we're going to have on July 10th the first hearing, and then for the cities, how does that work if we created a task force that then petitions to create one, and then we're the quasi-judicial? So I just figured, since I'm getting asked by the public, what are you as a county doing? Then I should pose that question and see what would you guys desire, what's appropriate, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so historically it has been kind of an organic effort brought to the county from outside by citizens groups, right? Mm-hmm. But in terms of what task force has been, I think it's, certainly uncharted here. Do you have any?
I think there has been some.
Something sort of launched by
committee
the
committee for fire. You could look it up. I'm pretty sure there has been.
That was launched by the
county. It was just a, one that sunsetted on its own. It wasn't like an ongoing advisory committee or anything like that. It had a beginning and end.
That's kind of why I was thinking task force, because that's usually a task related, and then it's done.
Yeah. I think I could be completely mixing it up with something else.
That sounds familiar. Well,
seems like we should be able to come up with a list from
and fire, maybe
some other fire district that was formed.
Are
we the only fire
district?
This
problem. More or less.
Well, we've had two.
It's tough.
But that would be the accountability piece, is who you put on there. And how effective if you hired help as well. If you hired someone to do a study, a feasibility study, that, you know, are they going to have full oversight over that?
It's a worthy question. It's a worthy consideration.
But it also seems like we could pull the prior two. There's one in 08. And then 2 years later, another attempt at it that never got past the board.
We certainly want to see
those.
The
first one went to the ballot and didn't go. But those feasibility studies, we could look and see, well, who did that? Because it could be updated if it was a group that...
We could do lessons learned and...
What was the opposition?
Take some of the things forward.
Mostly.
I think they didn't have a plan that I remember. I mean, they had a plan, but they didn't have any specific, like they didn't say, well, we're gonna have a fire station here and here and here. They just said, you know,
we're gonna
do something, but it wasn't very concrete.
Even people that have rural metro were like, we like what we got, didn't vote for it, didn't support it.
Well, that's what my concern is that you're gonna go out for the people that are unprotected and put them into this district, but you've got a lot of people that are paying for their protection. They're just plenty happy with it. So how do they get out? Do they opt out of a fire district?
It'd be a vote just the same as the library district was, but that's just it. And when we had talked, I mean, remember how we had all those different options as far as a zone to a new district and everything in between? We got this vote saying, pursue one county, but that doesn't mean that we know what level they'll support and what cost it would take to get there and what cost would be supported by a tax base versus now. So,
well, and wasn't that the closer one, the percentage-wise vote? Wasn't the lodging tax one the 75-20 or 70-30, and then the other one was?
Lodging didn't pass the...
Oh, that was the one that was close.
Correct.
Right.
This one was more
one
substantially saying, yes, county pursue
like
a rural fire protection district. But we had talked about getting some town halls out there and getting a survey of some feedback of, well, what does that mean? And really just kind of getting an opportunity, kind of Merlin Sidewalk precursor. What do we do to engage the community to see what this means exactly? But maybe it's a group that does it and goes down a task force that goes down this process. But I think it's something that's more than just me to kind of give feedback on to the public calling.
No, It's got to be more than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you think you would, as a board, eventually hire a feasibility study done by some company? Or are you trying to do this from inside this office?
The feasibility study isn't our responsibility. It's,
right?
In the past, it was a private group that did it. Or there was a private group that did it internally in the county. It wasn't professional. So the city told us they paid $30,000 to $40,000 for theirs, for their fire district. I think the 2008 vote one was done by a group of local citizens. I've heard some local citizens say they're just going to do it themselves. And there
to
may
me
be...
So they haven't had any organization for so long that they've, some have taken it upon themselves to pay for it, and other ones haven't.
Hmm.
And honestly, I don't know what all the individuals in the community are doing. I've been reached out to by some people that are interested in helping. I've tried to pass contact information along to the citizens group that came in last week that seems to kind of be going full bore ahead. But I don't necessarily know that that's, they said, well, we expect the commissioners to support anything we bring to you. I said, if it's reasonable. And I said, but here's the thing. If you came to us and asked for $5, $1,000 assessed value, I don't think you're going to get the commissioners to support you. We would make you go get citizen signatures. And, it's one of those things. And I tried to present that you have to listen to all voices in this if you want to be successful. You have to be willing to listen to the people that don't think it's broke to understand where they're coming from. And I was told, we just have to educate them. It's a public safety issue.
Okay. Well, and yeah, who
that,
is going
to
be the driver?
It sounds to me like
they're
looking at us to be the sponsor of this thing. When it goes south for the winter, I go, well, they said.
Well, and that's why I wondered if...
I was hoping that after Paradise that the insurance companies would kick in at some point in time and say, we're not going to insure your house unless you have fire protection.
Yeah, it hasn't come to that.
No, we had the opposite where they said California fires or such were putting a moratorium on real estate and no new homeowners policies. So it actually paused our real estate markets, and it was a substantial multi-million dollar cost to our community while that pause was going on. So the realtors have expressed a concern over that. And we can get more information about that. But do you have an appetite for creating a task force that would pursue a district information
yes.
and feasibility?
Yeah, I think that's
I think
a,
that'd probably
a good
be the
response.
Next step.
Yeah.
I'd say that'd be our next step.
Okay.
And
so
then when they come back
and see what we've done.
Yeah, what you've
okay.
done and propose. Yeah.
And what they bring back to us, we'll make a decision on what they bring back to us. And if it isn't.
I think that's wise. It'll get some actual steps in place. It'll give some options. We can
get the ball moving.
Yes, yeah. And then for community
feedback.
That'll
give
feedback.
You an answer when somebody asks you what you're doing.
And I did also reach out to Connie about the assessment value. She gave me some information on the mapping. I was going to try to follow up with Peter, our surveyor, and someone in the assessor's office about the map program from the previous one, because there's going to be a level, if you take the last one that they created, instead of reinventing the wheel, but you have to look at it from, remember when we came into office in 2010, look at all the annexations we did for a while,
mm-hmm.
because it'd been so long since any had been done. Well, the last fire district questions were before we went into office. So all those annexations into the city of Grants Pass have to be taken out of the previous map.
Oh, sure.
So that adjustments need to be done. And I'm not sure who does that. Is it...
Also, the any annexations into the fire districts.
Any
the city of Grants
Pass. No,
the
city
oh,
of Grants Pass in the last 15 years.
Yes, that, but also... The map will change because people have annexed into fire districts.
Like
also
Cape Junction.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
There have been some people out on 199 that have annexed into
that whole thing
Valley.
Needs to be updated
so
we know what we're looking at.
Totally
we know what we're looking at.
Anybody
right.
who is annexed into a fire district or into the city of Grants Pass since the last one will be outside of that map, and that map needs updated.
Right.
But instead of recreating the wheel, it might be easier just to take those annexations
well, this
out.
Is gonna, this is going to be a real dicey situation because I got a feeling that this thing probably won't actually make it to ballot until we're talking about renewal of the buck of the 93 cents. It's
you
going
to
be just about
that.
I don't know. I know there's a desire to aim for next May by the citizens group. I don't know that they would have it done in time.
That's pretty quick.
Less than a year.
Pretty heavy lift.
No, it takes a year. If with the petition.
They'd be on 2020.
I gave them the package that you had given me for the city for the signature petition. I gave them that package. So they have the list of what to kind of work through and stuff like that. But at least with starting the task force, we can see about it. And maybe it's that group that gets pulled in or something else. But I think
nice
as far as having
formed.
It be that something is cohesive going. So
okay. We'll bring back something.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, got it covered.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, Leah.
So if there's no other additional subjects or matters from commissioners, we can move on to executive session items. So today is Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019. It is now 2:40 p.m. The Josephine County Commissioners will meet in executive session for the following agenda items. 5A is County Road Property at 425 East River Street, Cape Junction, Oregon, under ORS 192-6602E. We have 5B, County Road Property at 400 Sunny Valley Loop, leased with Sunny Valley Applegate Trail Society, Inc., ORS 192-6602E. And item 5C, Wagner versus Josephine County, case number 118CV-01437CL, ORS 192-6602H. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder is now being turned off at 2:41 p.m. We are back in general session. It is 3:36 p.m. And we're asking if some more information could be gathered on the 425 East River and be brought back to us. Regarding Sunny Valley Loop, legal, if you guys could please draft a letter to the leasee as far as compliance with purpose. And then we'll come back with where we're at with that. And then got an update on the Wagner versus Josephine County. And are you needing permission or?
No, if there was an objection, now would be the time to state, but otherwise.
I have no objection to what was advised.
Seeing, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the item number 6 is additional subjects or matters from commissioners. You know, something comes to mind. I don't know if you ever attend the Association of Oregon Counties annual meeting. They may have meetings for legal counsel up there and stuff like that, but I'd be curious if it would be appropriate to see if they have a session on kind of what our experience has been that would be available to others.
Might be very helpful.
Okay. Yeah. And so if you would be open to that, I'd be willing to reach out to one of the staff at AOC to get them connected with you or something if you're willing.
Yes, sign up for that. I already committed. I told CIS that for their conference, we'd come in and give it a perspective
cool.
too.
Yeah,
so.
I bet.
I can
offset that cost too because I'm going to be out of the country. I'm going to miss the national.
Are you going to the World Cup?
I wish. I'm going to New Zealand.
Yeah. You're going to New Zealand?
Wow.
That's so much worse.
I know.
Are you coming back? Or?
Yeah. Well, I've heard that it's tough sometimes.
I guess.
Wow. Have you ever been, Dan?
I got a friend of mine down there that tells me, hey, can't you hear the toilet flushing? He says, I've got a ranch right down the road. I'll buy it, and you sell out in America and come visit me, and you'll have your own ranch.
Wow.
My friend's versed in New Zealand.
Wow. Are you going?
November, there's a big horse race thing. We're going for that.
Oh. Big horses? Are they bigger
VIP
horses than ours?
Mm.
Are they horses
we'll
that are this tall? You said a big horse
have,
race.
Yeah, it's 16 hands, I'm sure.
Regular horse race.
I can talk farm.
So just as a heads up, we're looking at scheduling fall property auction the afternoon of Wednesday, November 6th. I don't know that we ever object. I know some of us have sat in. It's not really, it's something that comes and goes without us.
Is there a list of those properties?
Yes, we'll have to approve a list before we get going, right? We have pulled some properties off to repurpose them.
Up by Picket Creek somewhere, there's like a 1-acre stamp that's in a row of like 8 stamps that are 1 acre, and that one the county owns. And well, why do we own that? It's near there. I'm probably getting location wrong.
Feel free to holler at her and ask. The list has not been presented to us yet.
Well, yeah, because it sounds like 1 acre stuck between other houses. That's a developable land for our housing crisis. What are we doing hanging on to that? Yeah, unless there's some road there, and I doubt it. 1 acre.
I would be curious. I don't know who our housing liaison is between the three of us. I heard CEDC had a discussion, a housing presentation, and there was questions of how our local housing authority operates, or lack of housing authority, because some stuff Jackson County does or not does or something like that. I know that we appoint onto a board. I'd be curious what our authorities are with that and what our obligations are. And
Aren't we under Jackson County?
Well, I know we did do something with Jackson County, but there's still a local something that we're advising to.
We have the Josephine County Housing Council.
But something merged with Jackson County.
Yeah.
Oh, they were planning it. I don't know if it happened yet.
Okay.
The director's leaving too, like this month or next month.
I know that we've appointed, because we had to appoint Roy Lindsay to it.
Right.
As the city liaison. So I'm just curious if that's something that should be looked on, because I had a CEDC member tell me that they thought the county could help.
Right. I have attended a couple of those meetings, and they don't build anything. They just subsidize rent for the most
part. Vouchers. But could they do more?
Yeah. That if they combined with Jackson County, perhaps, because they have more money coming and actually build projects. They just don't have enough money here to build anything. So, although they've tried over here, they built one, Maple Creek. So it's not like they don't already build here. We have a Jackson County Authority building over off of Grandview.
And then they have that their homeless shelter down along Bear Creek.
Right? But they weren't behind that one on Lincoln Road, right?
That was Options.
Yeah, okay,
Southern
that was
Oregon.
Somebody else.
No, they were the one that was the
They did Maple bill. Creek, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 units or something.
Jackson County Housing Authority.
Yeah. And so, they have enough to do something, so.
Okay, so just as heads up on schedule, so we do have our WBS tomorrow and then the holiday and such. Tuesday, I have the fire council meeting, so I apologize. I won't be able to be at the general discussion, don't worry. Right. Or I'll try to, if you need me at the legal counsel, holler. But then we have the hearing on the 10th and the NEPA objections in the afternoon. If there's anything else you guys would like to make sure that we have considered, we let Wally know so that we can be prepped for that.
Yeah, sure.
And then the 11th through the 16th is our
Vegas.
Yeah.
The annual conference.
South
of the
Nevada.
Campus.
So then we'll be back on the 17th in CJ. So
July 16th, you're out. We have no meeting. July
16th. Got it, correct.
I will be in Medford that afternoon. I fly in at noon.
Unless she hits it big on the Wheel of Fortune machine, then she's not coming.
Which I won't play, so then we know we're coming back. But I get back at noon and then have a 1:30 meeting with BLM. So I'm not even going to, I'm just going to stay there. So, all right. I didn't know if there's anything else, y'all, but that was kind of just heads up. Okay.
Sounds good.
Seeing nothing else, we could be adjourned 3:43.